Hey, it's Tuesday, December 19th, and this is Beginner's Puck, the podcast for hockey fans both new and old. You know, here's some insider baseball. Like, we do a little pause after our intro, so the editor, whoever's editing this, because sometimes it's you and sometimes it's your husband, knows where to insert the music. I always sing the music in my head.
I do too!
So I like kind of silently bounce along, thinking this is where music's going.
Totally and nodding.
Totally nodding along. And then, you know, thinking how to come in here. So, yeah. Podcast tricks.
Behind the curtain.
Yes. Pulling it back. This is a professional production. Just like that. Your hosts are bopping along to music that nobody can hear
but us.
And just imagine as you listen to our intro music, listeners, that we were bouncing along.
That's true.
I'm sure you were.
We were right there with you in spirit.
Yeah. So, Erica, let's talk about some turnarounds.
Thank heavens.
I know.
Not everything sucks.
We're not going. There was a really funny quote. As I follow RMNB blog on Twitter, which is the Russian machine never breaks, and it's the fan blog for
the Capitals?
Washington Capitals. Yes, and they're very funny, and it's a really good mixture of serious sports and just goofy sports. Because let's face it, you know, I love it when hockey has personality, and it doesn't happen often. So when it does, like, they really highlight it. But one thing that Alexander Ovechkin said was a quote, like, at the beginning of the year. It says, "We will not be suck this year," which is just, you know, Russian. It doesn't have full command of the English language. And they made a shirt, and he loves it. He wears it, like, he's been on Instagram wearing that shirt just because, like, around his house. So yes, we should say that about us. Say that about our turnarounds. Our teams will not be suck anymore. Yes. Well, at least this week. Mm-hmm. So you guys have been doing okay. Like, it's little up and down, and
but yeah,
like
it hasn't been all good. I mean, we lost to Nashville, which, okay, first of all, Nashville was, you know, the Stanley Cup finalist last year, so I don't feel terrible about losing to them. But also, even though the score was terrible, they beat us 4-0. The Oilers actually played very well through, I mean, certainly the first period, and then somewhat consistently through the rest of the game. It just they look like a different team than they did the last time we talked. So I don't have a ton of hope that they're going to necessarily make it to the playoffs this year, because we are, you know, things are tight, but I don't want to get my hopes up, but, but I feel better about the way that they are playing. And I think Connor McDavid was sick with a couple of bouts of different things. And I think he is finally getting healthy and looking good. And I think Adam Larsson, one of our number one defensemen, is going to be back tonight. And Andre Sekera is also supposed to be back soon-ish. So, like, our defense will have a bump. And, yeah, everything's sort of, like, slowly falling into place. I feel like maybe it's a little too late to have a whole lot of hope for this year as a whole. But I'm feeling happier about it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any shame in losing to Nashville. I mean, they're like number two in the whole league right now as of today. So, you know, if you're going to lose to anybody, I think that's legit.
Exactly.
It's not like losing to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. That's kind of sad.
That would be sad.
What do they call that? A trap game? I've been hearing that a lot lately. Hmm. Have you heard that term?
I have not.
I think it's like a game that, like, you should be expected to win, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, we did lose to Buffalo back in November, so, like, I know how that feels, but that was a long time ago. It was so long ago, I don't even remember.
That's right. All right, I'm noting that down to look up trap game. We'll talk about that in a later podcast, because, hey, I don't know what it means, so I'm sure there's lots of people out there that don't, but I have been hearing that term bandied about when it comes to playing a much lower ranked team and the expectations therewith. But yeah, the Flyers have been streaking a little bit, not in the fun way, but in the fun way. Not that I'm objectifying hockey players in any way, shape, or form, except that I totally am. I have the game one behind me, and we're playing the Kings, who are, oh gosh, where are they in the standings? They're up there too, because they just came off a pretty big streak.
Overall, I don't know, but yeah, in the Pacific Division, they have been at the top fairly consistently.
Yeah, it looks like they're 1, 2, 3. They're like number 5, 5th in the league. So they just scored. It's 3-1. So I think our streak might be coming to a close. But it was a good run, especially after losing 10 games in a row, which really hurt. And here in Philadelphia, it's something I want to talk about a little bit because it never fails to delight me. And we may have even mentioned this before, the bogus hockey stats. And right now, the bogus hockey stat that's flying around Philadelphia is apparently we are the third team to come back on a winning streak of 6 games after losing 10 since 2 other teams did it a long time ago. And it's like, what does that even mean? What does that say? Is it supposed to be a goal, a precedent? I don't know. It's a stat with no value.
I think it's one of those things where it is a thing that happened and somebody was like, wow, you know, the Flyers, they lost 10 games, but they've turned it around and they've come back and they've won 6 games. Has that ever happened before? And then somebody just goes and digs and looks it up and it becomes a stat. I don't think it was anything anybody was looking to hit. I think it was a thing that happened and they reverse engineered the stat from it. That's my guess.
This is number nerds. This is like factoid nerds. These are... I want to say fanboys. I know that's being super generalized, but in my experience with these type of things, it does usually tend to be male fans of any genre. I'm not just talking sports. I'm talking anything. A Doctor Who fan, a Star Trek fan, a Star Wars fan who will give you detailed history of the types of guns and how many they have been used in which film sort of thing. So it's like that. I guess it's a way to tell me that you know some things, but it doesn't not adding any value to this conversation. And LA just scored again, so our streak is done.
I like those kinds of stats just from a sort of like just to kind of get an idea of how rare something is. I don't want somebody to spew stats like that at me, but I do like it when they pop up, you know, in the middle of a broadcast or something, and they just sort of point out, hey, did you know this is only the third time that this particular situation has ever happened? That
always amuses me. You could make a stat out of anything, the NHL does. Mm-hmm. I mean, how often have you been watching a broadcast and they'll pop up and say, well, this is the first time that a boy from Saskatchewan with red hair who's last name ends in O has ever scored a shorthanded goal. That's, you know what I mean? It's like, what?
I think things like that, they make me feel better about the world. Like, we haven't seen everything yet. Like, sometimes it feels like it's just everything's the same old, and there's nothing new under the sun. But you know what? There's always something new under the sun, and stats remind me of that.
All right, newsflash, because I have the game on behind me and it's on silent. They just took away that goal. So now we're back to 3.
Hooray!
Oh, no. Yeah, and there's 13 minutes left in the third. So, my gosh. Listeners, you were listening to live action reactions to a hockey game. Yeah, so it makes me laugh. I mean, right now, I mean, Philadelphia is just like desperate for anything because we're in mourning because we lost Carson Wentz last weekend or the weekend before last. He went out with a knee injury, and all of a sudden, we're watching our golden season sort of crumbling a little bit. We did win. I know we're talking football on a hockey podcast, but it's Philadelphia. These wins come so rare. We just kind of grasp onto them. So I think our hockey media is trying to make everybody collectively feel better.
Aww.
I know. Nice. But here's another thing. And this whole topic of conversation about stats got me thinking about Las Vegas and all the stats that were flying around about their predictions. Like, who would have thought? And we say this every single time we record. Like, what? Mm-hmm. Now they're leading the Pacific.
Yes, they are. I mean, I did not realize that they had overtaken the Kings, but yeah, they sure have.
Yes, they did. They have overtaken the Kings. And the reason why they came to mind, not just because they've been doing so great, but because of bogus stats. Because I know, and we talked about this before with Gerard Gallant's dismissal from Florida after a game, having to schlep his stuff to the airport. Of course, Gerard Gallant is now the head coach mm-hmm. of the Vegas Golden Knights. And part of the whole conversation about why he was dismissed was that the Panthers at the time were really buying into hockey analytics. And mm-hmm. I think this is something that we need to bring an expert in to discuss on a future podcast, because analytics is, wow, it's a lot of numbers that may mean something. And I'm sure they do, but mm-hmm. they can be a little overwhelming. So you'll hear people, what are the two things, the eye test and the analytics are how people usually talk about evaluating hockey. Mm-hmm. You've heard about this. You've heard people say the eye test, right?
I think I have.
Yeah. And that's basically, you know, the coach looking at something and
look
making
at
a determination mm-hmm. about what's happening. But the analytics may say, well, hey, you may think this guy's a great player, but every time he's on the ice, somebody else scores. It's, even though he's not involved in that play, you know, your Corsi stat will be you're on the ice for a goal against. But apparently they were... Gerard Gallant is more of an eye test guy, mm-hmm. and they were trying to follow more of the analytics, and there was a bit of a culture clash. And now, of course, we're seeing how that played out, right?
Yeah, Florida is currently second last in the Atlantic Division, and Vegas is on top. So there you go.
And I love some stats, don't get me wrong. I mean, that whole thing fascinates me, but it just is, it's curious. Very mm-hmm. curious. So they had two big games this past week and a half, I guess. And as we're recording this, do you buy into this grudge match narrative? Because mm-hmm. we've been hearing a lot of that lately. Because we had Marc-Andre Fleury facing the Pittsburgh Penguins and Matt Murray for the first time. So, and there was, you know, last year during the Stanley Cup, it was so emotional watching those two like together, because at that mm-hmm. point, Marc-Andre knew that he was going to Vegas. Even though it hadn't been formally, the expansion draft hadn't happened. And, you know, Matt Murray's, the whole team has never had anything but good things to say about Fleury. And then Gallant going back and playing Florida this week. And, of course, Vegas won both of those games. So, but the media, hockey media has been hyping the grudge match. You know, this is the game that people have been circling on their calendars. And they're not going to say anything, but you know deep in their hearts.
I think hockey media is just, they're always trying to drum up ratings. They're trying to make a narrative. They're trying to get a story out of it. You know, when it comes to coaching, I think that's a different thing. So, like, if you were fired and... you know, had to schlep your stuff to a cab. Yeah, maybe you would kind of want to show them what for. I don't know if I would still call it a grudge match. I feel like that's taking it to a different level. So, you know, that maybe a little bit of proving oneself is there. But when it's a case like, I don't see it between Fleury and Murray. I feel like he wasn't fired. He was just unprotected. You know, it was, I feel like he left in the best way possible under the circumstances. So I don't think that there's, I'm guessing he doesn't feel like he has anything to prove, because I think everybody on the Pittsburgh Penguins totally respects his skills as a goalie and thinks he's a great guy because he has great skills as a goalie and he is a great guy. So I don't think there's anything, I don't think he necessarily has anything to prove in that particular way. I think it's just, you know, is it going to be weird playing against your old team? Yeah, of course it is. Emotions are things that you can't avoid, but I certainly don't see any sort of a grudge thing going on. And I think that that's just the media trying to get a rise out of people where there really isn't one.
So you don't think like these, because if you follow that logic, then every game that Vegas plays is a grudge match.
Yeah, that's
every
true.
Every person. So you don't, but you don't think like these guys have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, like they weren't protected, that their team didn't deem them to be valuable enough to protect. So I'm going to get out there and show them. You know, it's sort of like, you know, the girl, it is Demi Lovato's sorry, not sorry in hockey form. It's the girl who's like, I'm going to show you what you're missing and you can't have this.
Maybe, but I mean, I think that that's like pretty much every hockey game that's ever played, because when you think about the number of guys who are on any team who used to be on any other given team and were either traded away or unprotected or whatever. I think that that's just so baked into the nature of hockey that most of these guys are, they're just professionals and they're used to it and they know that this is the way the game works. And it's going to vary from player to player. I mean, you might have somebody who was in a situation that they weren't particularly happy with and then were not protected or were traded away. And yeah, maybe they'll have a bit of a grudge, but I don't know. I don't think it's as big of a deal overall as the narrative hungry media wants to make it look like.
So you don't think Taylor Hall's in his hiring?
Oh, Taylor Hall, yeah, for sure. That's a grudge.
In New York and just laughing hysterically at Edmonton this year?
Yeah, well, okay. Like I said, case by case, I would not be surprised if Taylor Hall held a grudge. And I wouldn't hold it against him if he did. Like, you know, more power to you, kid.
Yeah, he was a little disgruntled last year. Mm-hmm. But yeah. he's having a pretty good year, so I guess.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for Taylor Hall.
But that was his first time being traded away. I mean, some of these guys are just like our journeyman hockey players, and they have been all over the map.
That's so true.
I think for those fellas, I think it's fine.
Yeah, but I think if you think that you have the potential or your potential's been wasted or you think that you should be going to that next level and just for whatever reason aren't, because there's always, you know, there's always your bottom line. There's always your fourth line players who, you know, let's face it, they're still really good players or else they wouldn't be in the NHL, but they're not, nobody's ever building a franchise around them. Do you know what I mean? They're going to be your, $850,000 a year players. But so those guys, like they're taking a job. Do you know what I mean? They're taking who's going to pay for them. But, you know, you have players who are, you know, better than that or, you know, have been better and on the wane and they might be taken a little bit more personally. I don't know. Like, I can't imagine if you were a player who's sort of on the way down. Who's peaked on the way down, that's not going to sting a little bit. But I don't know. You will never hear it from hockey players until after they retire because they're also darn stoic and monotonous when they are interviewed.
Yep. Hockey robots.
Hockey bots. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, hey, I got to see some live hockey this week.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's right. You did.
I did. Rachel from Hockey Fields, your husband's podcast, who lives in New York. She lives and works in New York, and I'm in Philadelphia, and I got this urgent message from her Friday afternoon, like, are you busy tonight? And I'm like, nothing I can't change. And she's like, I can get tickets to the New Jersey Devils playing Dallas Stars tonight. Like, can you go? And I'm like, absolutely, because that's my second favorite team. And I just wasn't going to be able to fit it into my schedule to see them on this part of their East Coast road trip. So, but yeah, I will take gifted tickets to hockey games, especially hockey games that feature one of my favorite teams. They did not win, however, but Brian Boyle had an amazing game. So it's like, dang it, I can't even be mad at Brian Boyle. Like if it were any other player on the New Jersey Devils who, you know, scored two and just was having an amazing game, then like I would be petty, but dang it. And he scored when they played had his first goal back after his cancer treatments when we went to see him play against the Oilers. It's like, you can't be mad at that, can you?
Nope. Not at all.
Terrible human being if you were mad at that.
And it's okay because the Oilers won that game anyway. So, it was all fine.
It was fine. Well, I got the flip side of that, and Dallas lost. Dallas had a rough end to their road trip. So, but still, it was fun. Live hockey is always good hockey. Mm-hmm. Do you have any games in your forecast?
I don't. I am thinking I might go see the Oilers play on New Year's Eve just for fun.
Ooh, that would be
depending
fun.
On how expensive tickets are. So we'll see, because it's an early enough game that then I would be downtown, and you know, the fire, they're letting off fireworks from someplace downtown, so like I'd be in the neighborhood and I could just, you know, leave the game, maybe get a drink or, you know, a quick bite to eat, and then watch fireworks and go home.
Nice.
So we'll see. Maybe.
That sounds like fun. It's interesting because she said depending on the cost, because we have vastly different
ticketing schemes. Oh, the whole, you know, the whole NHL has vastly different ticketing schemes. Mm-hmm. So what would like a cheap, the cheapest Edmonton Oilers ticket you could get?
I honestly don't even know because I have not looked. Like when I think about getting a ticket and I think about like if it was like $70, then I would be like, yeah, that's cheap. I would go. And I mean, maybe I'm way off and maybe you could get cheaper tickets than that, although I kind of doubt it. So yeah.
Is that through the team or like through StubHub?
I was thinking StubHub.
Okay. So like StubHub, that's dirt cheap prices regardless before fees anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking like if you went onto the Edmonton Oilers website and wanted to get a cheap ticket.
I really don't know because this is, like I said, I have not even looked. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think the least expensive ticket you can get for a Flyers game, like through their site, and I'm not, because StubHub, you can get tickets for, you know, depending on the game, depending who's playing, you know, like for $20, maybe 25. Mm-hmm. I bought tickets for 17 before fees for the Flyers on StubHub. Mm-hmm. But I think they're, if you go through their websites, like 65 is their cheapest.
Okay.
Up to like, but I think in their highest is maybe 200.
Okay, here we go. I just went on for the New Year's Eve game. $95 is the cheapest through the actual Oilers site.
Okay. Yeah. So like our cheapest is at least $30 less. At wow. least. And sometimes I think they have them for like $55 depending on the game.
I'm just checking a different random game just so I can compare. So like playing against the St. Louis Blues would be like $55. So, okay. And that's Canadian dollars. So
it's even cheaper. Different. All right. Yep. But I'm sure resale value is probably higher.
Mm-hmm.
If this, yep. Yeah.
And I mean, and it also depends on how well the team is doing. If the Oilers were doing well right now, it would be a lot higher.
I bet. I know, this always was the joke. I remember hearing people saying that people in Buffalo would buy season tickets and then they would sell all the Toronto games and that would pay for the rest of their package because Toronto and Buffalo were so close and the Toronto games are so expensive that people would come to Buffalo and watch Toronto play because it was so much money to see them play in Toronto. So
that makes sense.
Crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, I know like when we went to Calgary last March, we got tickets for like, and it was through StubHub, and it was before fees, but it was $14.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it was really.
That's Calgary. Doesn't like is it Calgary is having the problem filling, or is it Ottawa that nobody goes to their games? I think it Ottawa. Might be Ottawa. Yeah, because yep. Their owner this week, right before the NHL Classic, said that didn't he had some sort of announcement or they were doing a press conference and he's like, yeah, you know, if things don't get better, we may consider moving. It's like, why do you say that 24 hours before a premier game?
Yeah, way
to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the NHL.
Yeesh. Well, this is what happens, people, when you build your arena way far away in the boonies in a place that's difficult for people to get to. And don't have a team that's doing super great, except that they were doing super great and still were having trouble at the end of last season. So
I know
throw up my hands. I don't
they
know.
They weren't selling out playoff games.
Mm-mm.
Like playoff games.
Yeah, that's just
crazy.
Not right.
I know. I was listening to the Bobcast, Bob McKenzie's podcast, which is just, oh my gosh. I want to have a beer with him. Do you know what I mean? Like he's just like, talk some hockey and like drink recipes with me.
Yep.
His podcast is so funny. And he was talking about, I guess the vote in Calgary is if they build a new stadium where it would be located. And they had voted for, it was a tie. So it ended up, the decision would be, it would be out of town rather than in town. And he's just like railing against it. He goes, you always build in town. You always build in your downtown area. It revitalizes everything. People will go after work. And like, so to listen to him go on was pretty funny.
He's right though. He's right.
It is true. Philadelphia is in a sports complex with Lincoln Financial Field, the Wells Fargo Center, and Citizens Bank Park. So we have football, hockey, basketball, and baseball. And it's like in a sea of a parking lot. There's really nothing around. They've tried to build like some restaurants in the area, but there's not games being played every night of the week. So
people don't go to those restaurants or those bars unless there's a game going. So it just, and it's hard to get to. Do you know what I mean? Like, it, you have to take public transportation or you have to drive. You can't, there's no reason to linger, you know?
Yeah, that's sad.
It's awful. And that we go see our AHL team, the Phantoms, which are in downtown Allentown. It's like you're driving around like, oh, I just drove right past the stadium or past the arena because it's tucked into the main street. Like, you just, it's just another storefront, you know what I mean? And it's really cool. It's very cool. All right. I'm sad the LA Kings have scored again, and I think that's it. So,
well, it looks like Vegas might not be on top of the Pacific for long.
No. Well, I don't know. Vegas has more games in hand than them, so maybe. So.
True.
Well, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
What else should we do tonight?
Well, you know what? Last time we did that great new segment, Say What Now, and I think we should do that again.
I think that's a great idea.
So, Deb, since you came up with this wonderful idea and quizzed me last time, I have been paying very close attention as I have been watching hockey, and I have a few quizzes for you.
Oh, okay. Isn't this fun? I mean, now that you are looking for it, you can't not see it.
I know. And I mean, honestly, a couple of these were ones that I wasn't even sure what they meant, and I had to either look it up or ask Steven, who I was watching hockey with. So, so if you don't get them, and listeners, if you don't recognize them, don't feel bad, because I didn't even know them all.
Oh my gosh. And to be clear, the Razor rule is still in effect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So nothing that Daryl Razor ever says can be used in a Say What Now.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know everything he's ever said, so it's possible that he has used these phrases, but I am not taking them from him, put it that way.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
All right.
Because he is a class unto himself.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. All right. So the first one that I have for you is an announcer. This was getting towards the end-ish of the game, but not totally toward the end of the game, and I can give clues if you don't know what some of these mean. So one of the announcers said to the other one, "Can we play straight time?" Do you know what that means?
Can we play straight time?
Yeah, can we play? This is one that I did not know, and I can give you a clue as far as the context. If you
okay,
don't
give
know
me
it
a clue for context. See if I can figure it out.
Okay, one team was absolutely just murderizing the other team. It was a blowout.
Murderizing the other team.
That's my own word.
Wow. That's bad. That's not even murdering. You were murderizing.
I don't remember exactly what the score was, but it was very high on one side and very low on the other side.
Okay. Can we just play? I have no idea.
Okay.
Just this was straight time. Okay, go ahead. Explain
so
it to me.
So it was a joke. This was a joke, apparently, that he was saying to the other announcer, who laughed. Apparently, when you say, can we play straight time, it basically means you just play straight through. You don't actually stop the clock even for whistles, which is the thing apparently that they do in beer league when when there's a blowout. Like, they'll just be like, let's just play straight time. But it's kind of like the mercy rule.
Quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Oh, a beer league term. Did not know this. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
I feel so much more knowledgeable at hockey now.
I thought that was fun. I like that one.
That is fun. Okay. So hit me with another one.
Okay. So this one I hear fairly often, so I would be surprised if you had not heard it. This was said in reference to a goalie, and the announcer said he stood on his head.
Oh, man. That means like he saved the game. He did everything but stand on his head to stop the pucks and he was a brick wall.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Yeah. I love the mental picture of a goalie actually standing on his head. And I mean, there are moments where you see like freeze frames where it's practically that because they have stretched so far. But
And when goalies are doing that, they'll say a goalie can't lose the game. What is this? The goalies can't, but a goalie can win the game. So if you've got a really, really good goalie, you can have crap defense in front of it. It'll make his job harder, but he might be able to save your bacon and win the game for you.
Yep.
But yeah.
I love goalies.
I do too. They're my favorite.
Good old goalies. All right. I have another one. at some point in a game, an announcer said, "That one ends up as a souvenir."
Oh,
what was he talking about and why?
Was it a significant goal for some reason?
It was not. It was not a goal.
It was not a goal. That one ends up as a souvenir.
I hear this all the time, and I don't know if it's just the announcers that I watch regularly or not.
Yeah, I don't think I have ever heard that.
Okay.
Well, unless it's like something that goes into the stands. I don't know.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, when a puck goes over the glass and into the stands, quite often I hear somebody say, "Oh, and that one ends up as a souvenir."
No, I've never heard that, but it makes sense. Yeah.
Yep. And when I first heard it, I was like, "That's a weird way to put it." And then I just kept hearing it again and again. I was like, "But it's true, because you know, whoever catches that puck or gets hit with that puck is absolutely going to take it home, and often will try to get it signed by one of the players before they go home." So
yeah,
it's a thing.
You know, my older daughter, we were watching. My younger son goes to RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology, and they don't have a football team, but boy, do they have a hockey team. And we were up there for Parents Weekend, and we went to their homecoming game was a hockey game, and they played in the Amerks Stadium in downtown Rochester. But in the afternoon, the women's hockey was playing. So we all went to the women's hockey game in the afternoon, and a puck came flying over the glass and like landed at her feet. And of course she was very dramatic about how she was almost murdered by hockey, but she was thrilled that she got this puck, and it was definitely a souvenir.
There you go.
See? So it works. It's true. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. So I've got a couple more. All right. So the next one, what is meant when somebody says he was screening the goalie?
Oh, that means they are, it's a player who is standing in front of the goalie, so the goalie cannot see the action in front of him and loses sight of the puck.
Correct. And that could be either a good thing or a bad thing, depending on if it's an opposing player. They're probably trying to screen the goalie because they don't want the goalie to be able to see where the puck is coming from. If it's one of the goalie's defensemen who is standing too close, and Don Cherry yells about this all the time, sometimes you just need to let your goalie see what the heck is going on. Because yes, it's nice you want to block the puck if they shoot it, but if your goalie can't see that it's coming, they also can't do their job.
Yeah, that's got to be some strategic moves. And I have seen, was it Carey Price giving like some serious shade to his own defenseman? And I don't know whether it was because of screening or because just they sucked. But either way, you don't ever want to be on the receiving end of a Carey Price glare.
Price shade.
Yeah, it was icy.
All right. Well, I have one more for you. And unfortunately, I have to tell you, this is one that I'm not entirely sure about. Stephen wasn't entirely sure how to sort of describe it or what it meant. And we Googled the heck out of it and could not find it.
Oh, my God. If your husband doesn't know, I have no shot at this.
It's something that he's heard a bunch, but just he never really stopped to think about exactly what it means. So, Deb, tell me if you know what it means when an announcer says that a player is directing traffic. What does that mean to you?
Okay, I have heard that. Directing
traffic.
See, and
I've heard it a lot.
Yeah.
I just never thought about it until now.
I always kind of took it as a player directing traffic is he's kind of leading or indicating where he wants the play to be, or he's setting up the play for, and maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of how I always interpreted that when an announcer says that.
And I had always kind of thought that as well. In my Googling for it, I could not find very much. There was one article that I found that used that phrase, and the way that the article made it sound by context, because this article did not actually take time to stop and explain what that meant, it almost made it sound more like this was talking about women's hockey, actually. It made it sound like this woman was directing traffic by basically not indicating where she wanted things to happen, but forcing people to go to places that she wanted them to be simply because of putting herself in that position.
Yeah, so, like setting up the play by putting yourself in a position the play is going to unfold. That's kind of how I always took that. But yeah, so, like I understand what they mean, but it's hard to describe.
Okay. So yeah, feel free if this is a phrase that you are very familiar with, feel free to tweet at us, and if you have a resource online that actually has a nice description of it, that would be wonderful, because Google did not help me at all.
Those are really good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have one for you. I had one that I only one that I had in my phone. Let's see if you can if you understand this. Say what now?
Oh, boy.
It's a counter say what now? And I just laughed when I heard it. And I knew exactly what they were talking about. They were talking about a player. And they said he is a monster on the dot.
I like that. I'm going to guess that it is somebody with a very high percentage in the on the face-off. He wins a lot of face-offs.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. So mm-hmm. It's just I'd never heard that phrase before, and it just made me laugh when they said it. So yeah. Mm-hmm. So when they do a face-off, they do it over a dot on the ice.
An actual dot on the ice.
It's an actual dot. And if you're a monster on the dot, then you are you're pretty good in the face-off.
So you're like Ryan Nugent Hopkins has been recently. He's been amazing.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that's so fun. This hockey is so colorful and it just delights me whenever I hear this. So, mm-hmm. Well, next time I'm going to give everybody a heads up because I didn't mention during our during the Dallas Stars New Jersey Devils game, Brian Boyle also got a game misconduct. Mm-hmm. And left the game. But after 5 minutes, somebody else went out. And it got me thinking about rules and the penalty rules in particular. So I think next time we're going to do a beginner's puck segment on penalties.
Ooh.
And the time they are and what they mean. Because there's exciting. All sorts of stuff that go around with that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. But keep remembering those say what nows because they're fun.
Yes. I will keep a notebook close at hand as I'm watching.
Yeah. And hey, listeners, like if you have heard any crazy hockey phrases, drop a tweet and we'll see if we can guess what they are because this is fun.
Yep.
Fun game. So, Erica, I think we need to close this episode out with a hockey tidbit. Do you have anything fun and amusing this week to discuss?
I do. I have something very, very specific that is also relevant to a recent game. You mentioned NHL Classic for the celebration of 100 years. They had an outdoor game and
it was colder than balls.
It was so cold. I could have a hockey tidbit that is just my delight in watching all of the announcers and interviewers and interviewees and like everybody trying to keep warm. The people in the stands in this football field like jumping up and down trying to keep warm. But no, the thing that amused me the most was the actual ice surface outside. It is really hard to light a sheet of ice. Mm-hmm. And when you're inside an arena that is built for that sort of thing, like you get used to the way that it looks. But when you're outside and you're in a stadium that is meant for something different, where the lights are coming in at a completely different angle, that ice looks so different. In fact, the fancy NHL like 100 years logo that was in the middle of the ice was pretty much impossible to see just mm-hmm. because of the angle that it was at and the reflection of the ice. It very much looked like it was a bunch of NHL players playing hockey on an actual pond. And it just brought so much joy to my heart to look at these guys and just like have that picture in my head because you know that like at least the ones from Canada have some outdoor rinks in their past and that
or in their backyards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There had to be like a little bit of that like giddiness. It was just really fun to watch them, even though it was really cold and you could tell they were super, super cold. It was great to see that giant pond looking thing out there because of the way the light was reflecting off it.
Did it look smaller to you?
You know, it didn't look smaller, but I was able to sort of like, because it's nestled in the middle of this giant, giant stadium, I was like, yeah, it puts it into perspective just how small a hockey rink is in comparison to an NHL surface.
I don't know whether it was because you couldn't see all the marks on the ice that it mm-hmm. just it like or the CFL. The playing surface just seems smaller in retrospect. And I'm sure it was an optical illusion. Mm-hmm. No, it's the exact same size. It's a regulation game. It's regulation size. But yeah, mm-hmm. it was. They're fun games. I like the outdoor
yep.
games.
I really do. And it was really fun to watch one that didn't have Chicago in it for a change.
Shocker. Yep. You know, I was listening to Sirius XM radio, and they were interviewing somebody at the NHL about the outdoor games. And the interviewer says, you know, we have to ask,
because the listeners have to ask. I know the answer. You know the answer. But some of our listeners, they always ask this, like, why is Chicago in every single game? And he laughed. He goes, well, they're not in tonight's game because they were talking about the NHL. But he said, you know, basically it's a revenue thing. You know, Chicago's a huge market. Chicago sells a lot of jersey. They're the number one selling jersey team. And, you know, they have to... If it's a game that's being televised, they want some national interest sort of thing. So yeah, it's all marketing dollars. But they did say that by the time, because they're getting so much better with making ice and in all sorts of conditions, that by the time they do their rotation, every team in the NHL will either have played in an outdoor game or will have hosted an outdoor game. So
that's nice.
It is nice because everybody, they said everybody wants to do it. Like everybody wants to play.
And the bit about the about selling jerseys and stuff, that actually makes good sense because they do always do special jerseys for these fancy outdoor games. And I have to tell you that the jerseys, both for Ottawa and for Montreal, were spectacular. They had bits of silver. Because, you know, the 100th anniversary and just like the O on the front of Ottawa was just I was just doing grabby hands at the screen. I was like, it's so pretty. It's sparkling. So, you know, the fact that Chicago does have a lot of fans who actually buy gear, that makes sense.
It does make sense. It does make me happy, but it makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Ugh. All right. Erica, this was fun.
Yes, it was.
I'm so good talking hockey with you. It's much more fun when our teams are winning, even though, sadly, the Flyers fell tonight. Our streak is over.
I'm sorry.
It's LA.
Edmonton is just getting started, and we are playing San Jose. So I don't know how great things are going to go there. We'll see.
Oh, well. We should probably go watch some more hockey.
Yeah. Let's do that. So... you have been listening to Beginner's Puck. Remember, hockey is for everyone, especially you.
Beginner's Puck is a Castria production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at BeginnersPuck or email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com. And you can find all of our great show notes at theincomparable.com/puck.